Hey everyone, welcome to the Locker Room Access post-game show alongside Chris Havlicek in the fancy Adidas suit. My main man, Dougie Fresh, Coach Phony Bennett, and still with us, special guest Ricky Stokes from the Final Four teams in the early mid-80s. Thanks so much for joining us, Rick. Dougie, can we have Ricky back?
Every time, man. He nailed it.
I nailed it. 12-14.
You bring an OG back. And you know
he's a 12-14 point game. Dougie, you know, you've been calling this for a while, talking about how UNC plays.
Yep.
Everybody else is starting to play us differently. Sag off the guards, go under screens. UNC just does their own thing.
I think Roy at halftime got a massage. And he told the kids to hang out. You're fine. Just, you know how we practice. He got a massage, did nothing. They don't change their game. And I don't think they like playing the University of Virginia, man. I don't think they like it.
Seven in a row.
It's amazing.
What was it this time? Can we talk about how the Flora seems to get more aggressive every game?
Hey, we were talking during the flow of the game. There was a possession with about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. Jay set a pick, popped out on the other side, faced up, jab step, shot fake, jab step, and knocked down like a 17-footer. And I said, that's an NBA player right there. Yep. Every NBA GM that watched that move said, wow, that guy's 7-1 and can do that. He's really skilled. I said it earlier. He's either our best player, our second best player. Today, 18 points. 12 rebounds. You're right. 3 for 5 from three. Like how many blocks? 4 blocks. Like Jay fills up the stat sheet, and that's why we call him the florist. And it's a shame that the national media has not picked up on his nickname. There should be billboards in Times Square talking about the florist, because he's bringing it every game. And that was a good effort by the team tonight.
Me and Mark can go tomorrow to Times Square and hold the floor.
I was going to say, we'll make calls to de Blasio, Mayor de Blasio.
Well, it's either Times Square or maybe like the corner, right? Yeah. We'll take the corner.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I want to talk about, the two guys that I've been talking about for a while, and I know Habs is the florist. I am so high on Trey Murphy. 6 shots, took 5 shots, 12 points, right? And Sam Hauser.
Yeah, just incredible. I mean, Trey's minutes were limited in that first half, and he takes good shots. He makes good decisions out there, and to see Sam and Jay and Trey, you know, at the top of the scoring. Look, you look at Kihei's line, not great. 2 of 8, 0 of 3 from three, 5 assists to 4 turnovers. Not a great line, but again, the Sam and Jay and Trey took the shots that they needed to lead this team to victory. And then on the flip side, Carolina showed that they've got one mode. If they can't get out on the break, they're going to try to get it down low. And they weren't successful on that. They took a number of threes, hit 2 of 16. I mean, just, you know, they're not a three-point shooting team, and they showed that today. So this was a really good performance. I like how we ran 9 guys just because, you know, Carolina's going to get out there, so you need some fresh legs out there. So I think that was a good decision by the coaching staff to go a little bit deeper on the bench than they have the last few games, and it definitely paid off.
Sam Hauser, I watch him, and I watch him a lot on defense, right? And when the shots go up, from like today, Carolina, when they take shots, I would watch what Sam Hauser does as the ball starts going airborne. And I watch him fight for position.
Yep.
And he's fighting every single play, and he's positioning himself either to grab the rebound or tap it to a teammate and just lock his guy away from him getting the offensive rebound, which was tremendous.
Yep.
Right? Constantly. And it allows other guys to get the rebound. Dougie, your guy only scored 1 point, but when you look at his assists and rebounds, tremendous.
Yeah. Oh, he was fine. He brought the ball up, did a good job. Assists. He's not looking to score. He will at some point. If he can get out and transition, he will. Back to your point about Sam, that's a product of a guy growing up playing 36 or 21. I don't know what you guys played.
When in New York, we call it 21.
It's one-on-one. And it's total instinct. He's like, all right, I'm against everybody, and here's the ball, and he's so good at it. So he definitely played a lot of pickup growing up. I'm obviously fading your question to me about my man Beekman, for the record.
Yeah, 8.8 rebounds, 7 assists is pretty tremendous.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Ricky, when you look at this team's defense, 48 points against a team that had just scored 90-plus against Duke.
Amazing.
What do you think about defense under Bennett and defense under Holland?
No, I mean,
of course, you had the big guy, right? So that sets a different tone.
You know what? And kudos to Tony Bennett's defense, the defensive principles. One thing I think Chris and Doug will say, Coach Holland, you always had to put your hands on the offensive player. To restrict the movement, I guess, and these guys, I see their heads nodding. You know, you always had to be close to, as a defender, to the offensive player. So you always had an arm or maybe the curve team kind of plays like that. But I just know playing for Coach Holland, you had to be physical. And he brought a physical brand of basketball. And I guess you can say that for Tony's team, because they definitely play very very tough-minded and very physical as well.
Well, if you looked at the game, if you remember the game against Kent State, it looked like a totally, totally different defensive team. Totally different team in general.
Yeah.
Defensively. The team had tonight was tremendous. Just the help. UNC could not penetrate. They could not get paint touches.
Yep. Mm.
Right.
And Mark, maybe you can attribute some of that to COVID pauses. You know, I mean, how many stoppages and starts to the season, and how many people are now starting to get into their stride. And I think Virginia, from a defensive side, starting to hit their stride defensively.
We've criticized this team sometimes this year for not showing the fire and just the attitude that we think they should. And maybe it's just because it's UNC, yeah. But I mean, they were on it today, and there was no loafing out there. Guys were getting into the lanes. So, I mean, just an excellent performance against a hungry team.
Yeah, UNC usually does that.
I want to sound the alarm on a couple things, Mark, because that's what I do. so Carolina shot 67% against Duke from 3-point land tonight. They were what, 2 for 16? If they, you know, this game's a lot closer if they shoot a more normal percentage, but we'll give that to the law of averages. The thing that worries me, and we've talked about this multiple times on the show, is our lack of bench scoring again. What do we have? 7 points off the bench? Is that right? Six points off the bench. that's not, you know, that's a very low number. We were talking, you know, during one of the breaks, I thought this was a really good opportunity for to get some people some minutes and get some buckets, because we were up and we're still kind of doing that. We never pull away enough where Tony can get these guys in, like a Poppy, to play a 5-minute stretch, a Justin, a Caden. That at some point is going to be hard for us, because there is going to be a game, and Ricky's been in a lot of them, Fresh has been in a lot of them, where Jay and Sam are going to pick up a couple early fouls and we're going to have to go to the bench. It happened to us against Carolina in 93 in the ACC final. And we had to go to the bench early. I just would like to see those guys marinate on the court a little more than what they're getting, just so we're ready for that game when things aren't going right. And the bench scoring is still a concern.
8 of the 48 shots coming from the bench, but it wasn't, I think, Wota Tensai passed up some shots today.
He was right, aggressive.
He good ones. He was 1 for 5, yeah. And he could have taken a few more. I thought Casey was 1 for 3, but still played under control. He had a great backdoor cut. And Casey's minutes weren't as extensive as they had been a few games ago. But I like his style of play. I think he played with confidence today.
He did.
I think Tomas, again, missing a couple, I think he became a little bit shy, as mm-hmm. opposed to like, I'm going to be a killer. So he passed on it because he felt responsibility in a certain way, right? you know, for me, I was always like, if I'm 3 for 3, I have 3 free shots, right? To go to 50%. But if you're 1 for 1, all right, then you're 1 for 3, then you're 1 for 5. You sort of, you know, check yourself in that certain situation, right or wrong.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right, Dougie. And I know, Hav, you're a big proponent of the bench playing, and you never know. Somebody could get hurt. Somebody can get in foul trouble. Guys have got to be ready. There are 9 guys that played today virtually.
Yeah. Right?
McCorkle got in at the end of the game a little bit.
And we talked about this, though. We talked about it. It's meaning, you got to get these guys meaningful minutes, right? And it's not, you can't put guys on ice for 5 or 6 games and then expect to have them come in and perform. There was some meaningful minutes tonight. We didn't get a lot of points out of it. 8 points off the bench. I'd like to see it more in that 15 to 20 range. That's a much better balance, but hey, we beat Carolina. I don't care what year it is. Beating Carolina is a good win. ACC 11-1. Things are looking good. We just got to keep on keeping on.
But have in this case, if you're getting 20 points from the bench, which is not going to happen, probably not going to happen. That would have been a third of the points tonight, unless you're saying scoring more. Right.
No,
unless you're saying we score 70 and they get 20.
I'm saying we can't we can't get, what do we go? Two for eight off the bench tonight for 6 points. Like, it's not a great outing by these guys. Now, they contributed in other ways, and we can dissect it that way. I just thought tonight would have been a good game to, to see a Justin, to see a Caden perform a little more.
You know, he shortens his rotation in the second half unless there's a lead. Right. So the first half will take some chances, and the second half, that rotation is going to be much tighter, much more restricted.
By the way, did Hav say the word marinate?
I did.
Or percolate?
I said marinate.
There should be confetti thrown for the good words, the old school words. And
you had conundrum. You had conundrum like 3 times in 25 seconds.
I'm saving juggernaut for later. Which,
okay.
So hey, Chris, let me ask a question. Can I ask a question? Who on the bench do you think can be a consistent contributor offensively?
If off the bench?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're saying they need more bench production.
Great question.
What one or two guys do you think can be that, fill that role?
So I think Tomas has come in and won games for us in the past, right? He's going to come in and shoot. And I thought he was aggressive tonight. I liked what he did. Casey's been MIA for a couple games. He had a nice stretch, sort of beginning of the ACC season. I think Fresh commented on his Notre Dame game, but he's sort of regressed a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then the biggest mystery to me is Justin McCoy. So Justin started 3 to 5 games for us. Is that right? Or 3 or 4?
Phony.
Led us in scoring one game early in the year. And I don't know if he's hurt or if he's in the doghouse or if there's other stuff going on, but he was a big factor early, and we haven't seen him play meaningful minutes in probably 7 or 8 games. So that's a question.
Yeah, it's odd.
Yeah, Phony, I know we all know that's your guy or your daughter's guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Transitive property.
And that's, you know, and I think he could have helped off the bench, but if you look at the bench, the bench didn't have a lot of production, but they spelled some valuable minutes defensively for our guys. And so, I mean, I don't want us to minimize the bench's contributions tonight just because offensively it wasn't there. I think they were active defensively, and that made a big difference down the stretch.
I think you're exactly right. I shouldn't assume that you're asking for a specific reason, but I think that question's very fair. I'm not sure right now, outside of the 3 top guys, that there's another consistent scorer on offense for UVA, right? Outside of Jay, outside of the florist, outside of Sammy, and outside of Trey, whether they're Kihei, Reese Beekman, or anybody come off the bench, that you have somebody that can be consistent.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be by committee. That's what we've seen so far. I mean, Kihei had a great game and a statement game at Georgia Tech that if you're you're going to sag off me. I'm going to step up and take these shots and make them. I thought that was impressive. Tomas had his explosion a couple games ago where he went 4 for 5 or 5 for 6, whatever it was. I think it'll be by committee. I just want to see, you know, a little more, 6 points off of our bench in kind of a blowout type game for most of the second half. It's just an area of concern.
I think we would have seen more scoring by Tomas had it been closer. He missed some early shots, so he had the luxury to be very selective after that. But I think if we'd been in a situation where he needed points, I think he would have treated it a little bit differently. I don't have a problem with him passing up the shots given, you know, down in distance.
Yeah, but I'm going to maybe contest that somewhat. He missed some open ones. If he's going to be pushed off the line, he's not going to dribble and pull up and attack, and that's not where his bread and butter is, right? His bread and butter is on the catch and shoot. So if the defense is going to play him like that, then I don't think he's really going to get off. I don't think he's going to score a bunch of points, right? But at that same time, if we're playing against any other team than Carolina Dougie, right, who actually scouts, right?
Then
he's going to open up the offense. So even if you're guarding him out there on the perimeter, it can open up things for Sammy and Jay and Trey.
Here's the thing, man. If you're not going to come out, shoot it. Like, you know, Ricky said it, and me and him were kind of similar guys. If you mess up, you're coming out. But some guys, if you mess up, you're not coming out. So just do your thing, man. You know?
Ricky has way more hair than you, by the way.
Oh, he's way, like, every time I see him, I'm so intimidated, man, in person. He's like, you know.
Yeah, but one thing I want to say about Carolina – you know, that team is going to be, if they can get the kids to stay, that team is going to be good. They played 5 freshmen tonight, meaningful minutes. And, you know, you can tell they're young. They had some really sloppy turnovers, miscommunications. You can tell they're off on their timing when they run their sets. A year or two, if they can keep that group together and they've got, you know, Dayron Sharp and, I was really impressed by the shooter, Walker Miller. They're going to be a good team. Caleb Love is going to be a very good player. And, you know, if they can keep him, they'll be great for a while.
Caleb Love is probably gone.
Yeah. He needs to stay another year and then he's gone.
Who is he?
Their point guard.
I know. I'm kidding.
Speaking of Carolina, do they make the tournament?
No. Nope.
That was directed at Ricky, Dougie. Oh,
sorry. Of course they do.
Of course they do. Why of course?
TV ratings. Come on now. TV partners. You don't think they want Carolina in there?
And their huge, massive following all over the country.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a big one. All right. If they beat Florida State.
We talked a lot about the players tonight, but can we just give Tony a little bit of credit because he has shown that he's going to outcoach Roy Williams consistently. You know, there's some coaches that challenge him. Some of the old guard like Coach K, maybe Mike Young or Mike Brown, as Fresh would say. Tony has really consistently does better than him in the first half, and then makes the adjustments for the second half.
Yeah.
Mike Brown's seriously a big up-and-coming coach.
Mike Brown definitely – he does run some great sets, right? Ricky, how many teams from the ACC get in?
Good question. I think I saw some – Joe Lunardi had 9 from the Big Ten. I guess Big Ten is the big number. Yeah, Big Ten is having a great year. I saw Villanova. They went down this today, but Creighton –
got beat up bad.
Virginia, Florida State, Carolina,
Tech.
Virginia Tech gets in. Yeah. Probably 5. I would say 5 there. I don't know. The 5th. The ACC team.
Louisville's probably going to get in.
Yeah, but for me and Ricky, Louisville's not ACC. They're like
in Well, most of the teams are not ACC.
They don't even register, right, Ricky?
I think Georgia Tech.
I'm not sure Ricky knows the story about Bass Tech. You might want to clue him in.
Oh man,
he may have some dedication commitment to Bass Tech. So let's be careful.
You might not know, though.
He coached through there.
So, Ricky, we've been, you know, we state rivalry with Virginia Tech, right? Big one. You played in it. I played in it. Fresh played in it. And there's, you know, they've been pretty good. And I noticed, I started doing some research, the only national and I know you coached there, so I want to be careful, but the only national championship that they ever won was in 2018 in bass fishing.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
There's a collegiate bass championship. So we've been calling them Bass Tech, which has not been real popular with their alumni. But, you know, that's what in-state rivals do. They needle each other. And
I saw the game in Blacksburg. What is the game in Charlottesville? I've got to think we'll play a little better. Rematch. It's postponed.
So I don't know if it'll get rescheduled. And that's one of the, you know, several teams have been postponed, and there was a big talk today Colin Cowherd was talking about it. What's the impetus for a top ranked team to reschedule an opponent? Like, you know, I think Tony would play Virginia Tech because he wants to play them and beat them. But there's a lot of schools that might say, hey, you know what? COVID risk, injury risk, travel, all that. Maybe we stay here. But let's be honest. Let's all be honest. A year ago, or you know, 10 months ago, when the thing was the virus was raging and everything was canceled, I'm really happy with how the season's played out. Conferences have gotten games in, and we've been able to watch sports and escape, and you know, have fun with what's going on in the sporting world. So it's not perfect, but it's pretty damn good compared to where it was, you know, 10 months ago.
Absolutely.
And I guess the way it's going to go to the NCAA tournament is after the brackets announced, everyone gets to Indy. If you test positive, then you're out.
Right. Correct?
So I mean, not only if you lose, but if you have cases, then you go home.
Right. It's time to order the hazmat suits and and just wear complete gear and make sure you're okay.
Well, the good thing about our team is I heard Kihei was posting something about playing some video game on social media last night at whatever time. So our kids are nerds. They stay home. They play video games. You know, Caroline, other people go out and party like me and you used to do, Ricky, and have. So we have a huge advantage by being like complete nerds. Like we're playing Minecraft at home.
Well,
our boys were, you know, quarantined.
But let's talk about that for a second, Ricky, because before the show started, we were having a conversation. Should we bring this up or not? Right? Should we bring up? Sorry, guys. I just got an interruption on a phone call.
That's better lighting for you, Mark.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, my younger boy was calling, FaceTiming me. I don't know what's going on with my lighting. I got to check that out. Dougie, can you send one of you guys over, please?
Mine's horrible. I'm the worst. You guys, everybody looks better than me. And I'm telling you, Ricky, in person, I look way better, bro.
You do, Dougie.
You do? You do? I didn't know that.
He's using a beauty filter as it is.
No, it's terrible here.
But let's talk about that. So Carolina was partying.
Yep.
Right? A couple of their guys were out. Miami said, we're not playing you guys. I mean, I don't think Miami really has anything to lose ultimately, except maybe some regular season games. They're not going to go to the tournament unless they win the ACC tournament, if there is an ACC tournament. But what happens if somebody from UVA contracts COVID from somebody from Carolina? That could be our season.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of games left. And at this point, it could cancel some games. I can't see it ending the season. I mean, you know, March Madness, look, that's what we're all playing for. That's several weeks away. You know, a 10-day stop or whatever at this point wouldn't be the end. You know, I've got to defer to the experts who I'm sure have looked at a lot more data. And I'm talking about our athletic department, our trainers and all that, and trying to measure the risk. That's the big thing. We don't know the risk of this. We're trying to weigh these different risks of guys passing on in the game, which we don't really seem to know much about or think it's much of an issue. So, you know, if they decided to play, then, you know, that the die have been cast and, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm not too worried though.
But what if it's a team late, early in March or mid-March or I don't know, March 2nd, 3rd, who's not playing for anything, right? And a couple of kids go party because they have nothing to lose. They're not going to the tournament. right? They know they're not going to win the ACC tournament, and they go out. They're like, forget it, I'm going to some parties. I'm going to go hang out. I'm going to live up the rest of my college experience. Maybe I'm a senior, right? And I didn't really get a senior year. I didn't really get the end of my junior year college experience. So I'm going to take advantage of this right now. Like we could be handcuffed, and not just Virginia, but a lot of teams could be, right? And they could be playing against some irresponsible other team that could terminate their season.
Well, a lot of people have acted like this season has a big asterisk next to it. I don't think it does quite yet. It's definitely a weird season, you know, but if we get down to the stretch and suddenly, God forbid, a Baylor or something, you know, has to forfeit their first round game because of that, then I think you start to say, okay, well, this is a weird season. Yeah, we're always going to look at it with an asterisk, but you know, until we get to that end season, you know, I'm not too worried. But maybe in these circumstances, if what had happened with Carolina happened to an opponent the first week of March, I think maybe we make a different decision, you know, that we consider those factors.
And Mark, one other thing that I might just add, the NCAA had put certain safeguards in place before you get to the tournament. So all the teams have to test the week prior to go into their conference tournament. So they're going to test, and the one has to be a PCR, as you well know. The PCR virus test is the gold standard, and the antigen is the less reliable. But they have to take, during the first week prior to your tournament, even while they're at the tournament, they have to test 7 days. And of the 7 days, one has to be a PCR test. So they're testing every day prior to their tournament, while they're at the tournament. And then they go directly from the tournament to Indy. And when they get to the Indy, then they will quarantine. So they go directly to their hotel room, and then they start their testing once they get to Indy. And, you know, can you imagine? So what is that? The third week of March and probably till the first week of April. And this is officials as well. Can you imagine the officials are going to be there from the first four, the ones that make it all the way to the final four? They're going to be there for a month, and they're just going to see their hotel room and the court, and that's it. I mean, all their
that's right.
The days of Fresh and Chris and going out with the team to eat at a restaurant and doing things, team building, sightseeing. Not that you sightsee in the NCAA tournament, but that's over. You know, in the day of COVID, yeah, they're taking three or four buses to take one team to the arena.
Yeah.
So the life of a student athlete playing in NCAA, it will be vastly different than Mark, your son Jerome playing when you travel together and be in the locker room, and it'll definitely have a different feel.
Sure.
And I remember back, Ricky, do you remember after our games in the tournament, NCAA tournament, we had to pee, had to do the urine sample? And so I have I'm not trying to tell the world this, but I do. And I told the guy, he comes into the shower with me. I'm like, homeboy, there's no chance I can pee in front of you. Sorry, I went off on a word, but I'm trying to draw a parallel. Like, we had to do that. Like, that was enough. But now these guys are quarantined on buses, to your point, quarantined the next stop at the hotel, the locker room, whatever. So it's very, you know, very different than the way we came through.
Well, I'm just glad they got rid of the consolation game at the Final Four.
Your story.
We played in the last one in 1981, so that was the last year of consolation. Who ever heard of a consolation game at the Final Four?
Yeah.
Well, they canceled a consolation tournament. I don't want to call it consolation tournament. I think the CIT or CBI, one of those tournaments,
CIT,
canceled this year. Yeah, yeah. Coach, I know you got to get going. I know you're cooking Valentine's Day dinner.
I am, and Hav has inspired me. Hav's been doing these cooking videos, and the one thing that Hav's been doing, he's been doing videos for foods that are popular in the teams that we're playing in, the cities that we're going to. But so tomorrow for Valentine's dinner, I am going to cook something for my lady, inspired by Virginia and the pace that we play at. So I don't know if you can see, these are some lovely French snails to represent the slowest team in the nation. And maybe I'll make a video. I don't know if I can do it as well as Hav. I don't have a chef, Chef Tony. What's your chef's name, Chris?
Chef Mark.
I don't have
Valentine's Day.
I'll do it myself. Yeah, Valentine's Day, some escargot for the Hoos. We are slow, but we are tasty.
So. Mark, you saw that. What is Valentine's Day?
Dougie, that was inspirational for you, I'm sure. What are you going to make tomorrow night?
I don't know what my best friend from growing up, Clay Higgins' birthday is tomorrow, February 14th. What is Valentine's Day?
Happy Valentine's Day to all the Hoos out there. We're coming off a victory. So
all right, Marky, let's run
on. Let's say goodbye to Coach. He's got to go. Coach, have a great dinner. We will catch you on Monday night at 6:30.
All right, sounds good. Go Hoos. Thanks, Ricky. Good to meet you, man.
Nice meeting you, Coach.
Dougie, what were you saying?
I'm just saying, who's everybody's Valentine, like tomorrow?
I'm going to be at a volleyball tournament from probably 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. with my daughter. So, you know, she'll probably be my Valentine. But Fresh, maybe more importantly, can you talk to us about the blouse you're wearing?
Yeah, it's tricky. It's my it's my favorite Bob Marley shirt.
Oh, okay.
Listen, I'm going to vouch for those tournaments in Florida. I know how in depth they are, and I know how long, and I know what time they get started. Those girls' tournaments on the sand. Is it a beach tournament?
No, it's actually at the fairgrounds, because none of the convention centers will let us play there, but the Florida fairgrounds. So it's under a tent. There's about 80 courts set up in these three tents, and it's hot, and you know, it's not perfect, but there's a lot of states that don't allow kids to play sports right now. So I feel lucky.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Florida State, Monday night, Florida State recently off COVID, off a pause, beats Wake in overtime today. They're going to be tough Monday night.
Tough for us.
Yeah.
The same way we're tough for Carolina, Florida State is tough for us.
That's true.
Right?
A lot.
Very good coach. Very, very good coach that doesn't get enough credit. We've talked about this on, and I think Wittenberg brought this up. We had, Ricky, we had Derek Wittenberg on, and he was talking about Leonard Hamilton and the job he's done at Florida State.
Why did you have him on?
What's that?
Why did you have him on?
It was a mistake. He got
He's a good friend. He's a good friend of mine. I'm just joking.
I know.
Yeah. Great guy. He was
love also, right? It's so funny. I think he talked about Ricky, didn't he?
He did.
I think he said the same thing. Ricky Stokes, but he's my boy. But nah.
Yeah, he talked about Leonard Hamilton. That team is a good team. They're always going to have long athletes. He recruits really, really well. He's a very good coach. You know, they're the second. You know, I think we're the best team in the ACC this year. I think they're a very close second. And, you know, they're in the same predicament we are. Every time they play someone, there's three ranked teams in the ACC, Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Florida State. So they're going to get it. This is a nice change for us, where we're going head to head with another ranked team at Florida State. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. And by the way, we may be ranked seventh or eighth, possibly sixth. Right, depending on who loses today. We know Villanova went down. They play a lot of guys.
Yeah, they're deep. State,
right, and they I think they had a couple of guys come off the bench today to score double figures.
And they have like They have like 4 7-foot-3 guys from Africa. They're amazing. It's
every year.
Uncanny. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Rodney Dolbar.
I always say Leonard Hamilton recruits like an assistant coach.
Yeah,
I don't know how old Leonard is, but I mean, he is one of the more aggressive, has a great keen eye for talent and kind of the, I want to say hidden gem, so to speak, but I mean, his talent is upgraded as far as his recruiting, but he has a pretty good knack of finding guys in Georgia, the backwoods of Georgia, or down in the woods of Florida somewhere, you know, not kind of the off the beaten path, so to speak. So
no doubt.
I think when you played Ricky, I think he was at Kentucky as an assistant.
You know, we always should try to get Ralph to say why he didn't go to Kentucky. You know, one of the things Ralph will tell you anything, but he would never tell you all the offers that he got when he was being recruited. So we used to always try to get him to see, being the number one recruit in the country, what other schools offered him, but he never would tell us. So
he'd never tell you, huh? Well, I tell you what, when I was a prize recruit out of Fayetteville, Tennessee, Ricky, Arkansas State offered me an Arkansas State hat for free.
And you didn't go? And you didn't go?
Texas A&M offered me like a uniform and Nebraska a pair of shoes. And I didn't go. I was trying to be like you, man. So I came to UVA.
Well, we're all grateful that happened, Dougie. What do you see the difference between the scouting report Florida State's going to put together and Carolina's going to put together? Dougie.
Me?
Yep.
I think Leonard Hamilton low-key is the same as Roy Williams. I think he just knows his team, plays his game. But I think Leonard tweaks it a little bit. Like, here's what we do, not what they do, and we can do better than them. You know, my biggest knock about Leonard Hamilton, he's such a nice guy. You never see him firing off in the sidelines. You never see him getting upset. He's very similar to Roy Williams to me. And he lets the game play out, and he lets them go. So I'm not sure much difference. I think he trusts his team. He trusts his process, ding me. And he thinks that what we do can work against you. So, but I think what they do against us has been better than what Carolina does against us over the years. So if that makes any sense.
Do you expect the Noles to be very physical with us? Have?
Yeah. So this is one of the few games where, at any given point during the game, when Florida State matches up against us, they're going to have a better athlete. Okay. We, with maybe the exception of Trey, but they are very athletic and we're going to struggle with their quickness. They pick up three quarter court and full court pretty regularly. I need to watch some more games. I saw them play about a month ago. I'll get smart on them, but I do know that they're very, very athletic. They're well coached and the number two team in the ACC, we're playing on the road. We got to bring it.
Yep.
We're 11-1. I believe they're 7-2. It should be a good one. Ricky, have you seen Florida State play?
I have not, but I would talk very similar to Chris and Dougie. I mean, they're well coached. They have tough kids. They're very athletic. I mean, to me, they're going to drive it. To me, I would say Florida State is more of a defensive team. Carolina, to me, concentrates on running the break, getting easy baskets, where we're going to have to execute. We're going to have to rebound and keep them out of the paint. I mean, they're a team that can get to a spot and elevate. And they always have a couple of African guys that are ripped and hang around the board. So a bit another challenge trying to keep them off the glass.
The two kids that really impressed me from Florida State, the kid MJ Walker, who seems like he's been there for 15 years, and the kid from your neck of the woods, Habs, Scotty Barnes.
Yeah.
Tremendous. 6'9". He is a freshman. He is ridiculously good and super athletic.
Very good. You know, we saw when Carolina got down and the game was sort of slipping away on them, you saw them pick up full court. We just threw it to Sam. And Sam did a spin dribble or two, and De'Ron Sharp would foul him. That's going to be very different against Florida State. They're going to have a guy. They're going to be beating you to the sideline, forcing you the other way. Sam's going to have to, you know, if he's the primary ball handler in that situation, it's going to be a very physical game, really good athletes, and at the end of the day, two great coaches going at each other with different philosophies.
Yep.
Yep. Should be a good one. We will be on air 6:30 Monday night. Ricky, you're more than welcome to join us. You were such a pleasure to have on tonight.
Hey, Ricky.
and you know what? If you can predict another victory.
Another double-digit victory.
I was just going to say by at least one point, you're more than welcome to come on.
I think this one's going to be closer. It's going to be a closer game.
As long as you have the W for us.
Yeah, we need the old sages, man. These dudes know. James Worthy. He's not talking about, you know, so these guys know.
From my man Dougie Fresh across the Hudson. All right, Chris Havlicek down in Miami. Ricky Stokes in Seville.
Hey, before I go, can I say one thing?
Absolutely.
I want to get a shout out to the UVA Black Alumni Friday Night Zoom. There's a group of us that get on together every Friday night, and they're checking you guys out. So Elwood Jones to Tony Jackson. There's about 25 of us on every other Friday night. So as you guys know, UVA is a very close-knit group, and it's a lot of fun. And I appreciate you guys for letting me join you for the pregame, halftime, and postgame show.
Thanks. We appreciate you. Grateful to have you on. You're awesome. And for the incredible production crew of our intern, Henry Gold, and of course, the Oz, T-Dubs, we're putting this whole thing together. I'm Mark Jerome. We will see you Monday night at 6:30. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Have a good night.
Thanks, man.